All right, we're back for episode 12.
My God, episode 12, can you believe it?
I know, the weeks just keep flying by. Feels good though. Feels good.
Absolutely, 100%.
So last week we explored how staff are becoming the faces of new modern brands, and especially on their social medias. We discussed how authenticity and relatability drive real connection and trust. This week, we're zooming in on another major driver of trust, which is personal relevance. Because in B2B marketing, who says the message matters, but how relevant that message is can make or break a sale.
Hi. So B2B personalization. Well, as we know, the B2B buyer journey is generally long, can be complex, and it usually involves multiple stakeholders. So, yeah. You know, when you're trying to market to a larger organization, you generally need to market to a whole host of generally the C-suite and the people that you're trying to get that message to. So it's absolutely essential that, you know, when you're creating content that's aimed at a particular role within that organization, that's completely personalized to that person's role, because they, you know, the sales leader will have different metrics and things in comparison to, say, the market leader and of course the CEO. So when you're creating content for different roles within that organization, make sure that you're personalizing that outreach.
Yep, and when you're personalizing that content as well, it helps to reduce decision-making friction, it builds that credibility, and it ends up moving those deals faster as well.
100%. The thing is as well, you know, in this kind of day and age, you know, a lot of these B2B organizations expect a tailored experience. It's not just in B2B. I mean, B2C is exactly the same. You know, they expect, if you look at, like, say, Spotify or Netflix or Amazon, you know, the personalization that they use is what people kind of expect from pretty much every company. And if they don't get that, they'll generally go somewhere where they will get it.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this in another episode, is Spotify's, they do the yearly thing where it's Spotify Wrapped. So it's giving that personalization to that user.
Yeah.
Yeah. And according to recent research, 80% of B2B buyers are more likely to engage with companies that offer personalized experiences. So it's not just, you know, something that's fluff that, oh yeah, I can do it if I want. It's the growth lever to your business.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It just it allows you to get access, if you like, to that particular person or persons that you're trying to reach in a more personalised way. You know, it's almost like when you're doing, like, LinkedIn outreach and things, it's not just a case of adding people try to connect with people without adding or not. You know, you should really be creating real relationships with people, and you do that through personalisation. So taking that LinkedIn outreach as an example, when you're doing that, for instance, you would actually personalize that note to the person, you know, by looking to see what they've posted previously. If you agree, you disagree, then what you're doing is you're actually building that personalization into that connection request, you know. And marketing is exactly the same. It's making sure that you're personalizing everything specifically for that B2B buyer.
And this is a huge factor into why you need to understand who your ideal customer profile is, so that you can segment that marketing correctly to them, rather than just saying, for instance, we target healthcare businesses based in Queensland. You know, you want to understand their true firmographics as well, you know, the company size, their revenue, their behavior, what content are they consuming, what pages have they visited, what's their search history, what's their engagement signals. Really understand the intent and your ICP, so that you can ensure that the content you're putting out there is resonating with them, you're hitting the right message, and you're solving a problem for them as well.
100%. And that's what it's all about, right? Solving that problem. I mean, a real world example would be, say, for instance, a case. Say someone visits a website of a SaaS company, and they're looking to get some. They're looking for to solve that problem that you just spoke about, you know, and they end up coming across content on a possible supplier. Then they go to see that they can download, say, an ebook, for instance. So rather than, you know, blasting everyone with the same information, they've got a choice to, you know, I suppose, filter themselves into that segment of type of buyer that they are and request ebooks and content that's personalized and specific to them.
Yeah. And that's the thing as well, is like your timing and the context now matter as well, just as much as the content itself.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the worst thing is if, you know, if you've requested an ebook and it doesn't actually arrive within like maybe 10 seconds, that's a bit of a ball ache. And when you're doing, I mean, if you take Adonis Media, for instance, we are a global agency, so we provide services in multiple countries. So when we are delivering content, we tend to deliver content right away. But depending on the content that we are actually posting, we might opt to post specific content at specific times within that particular country because, you know, because of the, say, the time difference or whatever else that personalization might be.
Yeah. Yeah. So how can you actually build a personalized funnel that scales? So the first one you can do is you can use dynamic website content that changes based on industry or role. So say you have, you know, you're targeting marketing managers in there. You can have any marketing managers that come on, then it will change that to marketing manager. If you have CEOs, you can change that to CEO. And it really builds that personalized connection with them.
Yes, I mean, HubSpot do this as well, right? So basically what happens is you need to define your ICP first. Once you've defined your ICP, then when you're creating content for your website, you can create content specifically for that ICP. But generally what happens here is, you know, unless they're using some other intent signals or enrichment information, it's not always possible to get your application to decide, you know, who is this person that's visiting this website. So what would happen is when someone downloads content, they then essentially, with the form and things that they've filled in for to get the ebook or whatever that content is, they've actually told the system, you know, if they are a marketing manager or a sales manager or a CEO or whatever it is, so that personalization can then be activated on front end, and that's how dynamic website content then works, via cookies and that kind of stuff, which is really good because then what happens is as they start to browse the rest of the site, the content is then specifically tailored for them.
Yep.
So that allows you then to create like account-specific landing pages and offers using like account-based marketing tools and things like that as well. Again, you would normally connect your CRM, which again, HubSpot's got one integrated. You could connect Salesforce with HubSpot. And it's just about delivering the right message at the right time
to
the right person, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of AI tools out now that can also predict what content someone should be seeing based on their digital behavior, not guesswork. Of course, there's implications with AI sometimes. It's not perfect, which we spoke about in one of our recent podcasts as well. But there is new tools that can help you speed that up. For example, if a lead attends a webinar on retention, follow up with retention-focused content, not just a generic product deck.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, there's also a lot of pitfalls and things that need to try and be avoided when you're implementing personalization, and especially automation, because I think in especially in the B2B world, you know, automation is something that every business should aim to do, which helps obviously drive more revenue, reduces costs and things like that. But you can over automate things, you know, and nobody wants to receive kind of robotic, irrelevant emails just because they downloaded a guide 3 months ago. You know, again, that really goes back to the whole personalization as well. You know, wait 3 months is not, that's just not good. They should probably already be in a different workflow at that point. Another one is bad data. This I see this all the time in people's CRM, you know, and that always leads to a bad experience. That could be misspelled names, reference the wrong industry. It could be reference the wrong company. They've maybe moved on to a different company. There's just so many things that can go wrong here. And that sort of bad data stuff can be resolved by data enrichment, using data enrichment services for to put the right data, up-to-date data within the CRM. Now, to give you a prime example of that, you know, I've been consulting with a cut this bit out. I forgot what I was going to say. what is it? What's CQ Rescue again?
Charity.
So I've been consulting with a charity here over in Australia here. And when we first went in, they were doing like a direct mail hits every year for like an annual appeal. And their data had not been cleansed. So what was happening is people were receiving letters asking for money from people that had already passed away, that had already moved on to different, you know, a different house. And it was just chaotic. So, but I mean, a big part of that is actually looking at the data that you've got, making sure it's up to date, valid data, and that will save a lot of time, effort, money, and obviously the embarrassment of sending letters and requests to people that are no longer with us.
Yeah.
You know? Another pitfall I would say is personalization or personalizing things just for the sake of it. So making sure that every customized touch point actually adds real value to that person that you're actually delivering the message and the content to.
Yeah.
And also, when you're delivering that content, try and make sure that it's helpful and it's not just kind of creepy. You know, when if you go back to the overall automation point that we spoke about earlier, you know, where you know you're not receiving an email till 3 months after, and people will be thinking, "Whoa, what's happening here? I never signed up to this newsletter." You know, but in actual fact, they did. So they need to make sure. You know, that the content and things that they are receiving is indeed helpful.
Yep. And I think another one is with the emails. Oh, I subscribed to the email list not long ago about SEO, and they were just spamming emails, and it just got to the point where I wasn't even reading the emails just because there was too many, and it was getting actually quite annoying. So I unsubscribed from them. It said unsubscribed, but it didn't actually unsubscribe me. So I kept getting emails and it was starting to get really annoying. So I had to email them and tell them to stop. Still was getting emails. Now they started sending me SMSs and it's like, don't do that because you've just, you know, now they've lost me as a customer or, you know, a partnership or anything because of how annoyed I am and, you know,
well, the thing is
how I feel about what they've done.
That's right. And the thing is, we need to be making sure that we're getting permission to send people marketing messages. It's not, I mean, with the privacy laws, which we spoke about in a previous podcast, and things that are in place, they're in place to safeguard our privacy. You know, we don't want like a thousand emails a week about the same thing.
No.
You know, I've been in the same position where I've had to actually mark a lot of this stuff as spam. And move to the junk and block the emails because it's impossible.
It's
impossible
to
unsubscribe, you know.
Yeah,
I think as well if you're doing SMS messaging or SMS marketing, You need to obviously make sure that you add the reply stop so that people can opt out as well. But there's no real need to be sending SMS marketing messages to tell me that I've got an email about a newsletter and things like that. It's just crazy. So and this goes back to the whole point of making sure that you've got a content strategy, and how you actually distribute that content to your prospects and your users.
Yeah. With the personalization pitfalls as well, I think a huge part of that comes down to, you know, wanting to solve a problem as opposed to just making money. Because when you're just chasing money, then I feel like you just tend to, you don't end up providing the same quality of content as, say, someone that's really passionate about it and, you know, wants to grow.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, when you're forcing it, it's not real. And we've seen that as well on a lot of the LinkedIn automated comments that we've seen, which we also spoke about recently. It's too fake, and you can just tell when it's not real.
That's right. And LinkedIn itself is, I mean, the whole point of having LinkedIn as a social platform is for people to be social, no for bots to be social. No. And if you really want to drive real value, deliver real value to people and drive revenue from platforms like LinkedIn, you need to show up, you need to be there.
Yeah. You know? So there's a few different real-world examples. So as we already mentioned was HubSpot. They use smart content to dynamically change their CTAs and copy based on visitor lifestyle and life cycle stages and personas. We also have Adobe, who tailor ads and landing pages at the account level for enterprise clients, which improves their conversion and shortens their sales cycle. And then we also have a startup, which is a growing B2B company sending short personalized Loom videos to target accounts, which results in a 40% reply rate. So these examples just prove that personalization doesn't have to be creepy or complex. It just has to be thoughtful and real.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I must say, we always recommend our clients to be doing the same kind of video, sending personalized videos to prospects, because not that many people do it. And really, before you do that kind of stuff, you need to do your research on, and as you should do anyway, when you're contacting someone, research on them to really understand who they are, what they've been doing, what they've been up to, etc. And it really, when someone receives that, and I'm speaking from experience here as well, it actually feels like they've been heard. I feel like you know, someone's taking an interest in you, and everybody likes people to take an interest in them, right?
Yeah.
And that's why video works, especially when doing outreach and things.
Mm, yeah, 100%. And that's another thing is with, you know, the adaption of AI and how relevant it's coming into business and automation and, you know, just into the business life. Business owners and, you know, if you have people doing your content, needs to not be reliant on, you know, ChatGPT. Like if you're creating content, write out the content yourself, ask ChatGPT to maybe clean it up, make it a bit cleaner, maybe add some bits, and then go in yourself and change it and make it real and personal. Because I've seen so many people just copy and paste, and then, you know, they've got the end bit that says, "Hi, would you like me to change anything for this?" Or, you know, the first bit that says, "Sure, let me get to this," or whatever. You know, there's bits in there, like, I think ChatGPT's changed recently, and it's actually location-based, so it'll change your content wherever you are. But beforehand, it was doing, like, American English, so you'd get Z's when, you know, if you're in Australia, we don't use, like, personalized with a Z. It should be personalized with an S.
The thing about Australia is they use both here, although it should be British English, given that, you know, Australia was kind of, you know, founded, I suppose. the modern day Australia anyway, on from all the people from the UK. But certainly, I totally agree. But you can obviously tell when you're using a prompt and things, you can tell AI, you know, what to use itself. And I know that with our database reactivation service, we actually tell it, you know, not just the country, but actually the, you know, the region or the city. Because different cities and things have, there's different nuances and lingo and things like that as well. But you can actually get, you know, you can get AI to provide you that lingo. And indeed, if anybody's interested, if you want to go to ChatGPT, type in and ask ChatGPT to speak to you in Scottish, maybe Glaswegian or from Edinburgh, and the tones should be different as well. But it's quite funny.
Yeah. So I've got some actionable steps for the viewers to take away from today's episode. First, I want you to audit your bio journey. Where can you add meaning? Where can you, you know, create that personalization? That's a huge one that I want you to do this week. I want you to pick one segment that's like your top 20% of clients and experiment with deeper personalization strategies. I want you to ensure your data is clean, updated, and connected across every single platform. And remember, relevance and respect equals results. Do you have anything else we want to say before we wrap up today's episode?
Just thanks, everyone, for listening in, and we look forward to welcoming you on the next podcast.
Awesome. The next podcast will be diving into sales and marketing alignment, which is one of the biggest roadblocks in B2B growth. We'll be sharing some real strategies to get both teams on the same page, working towards the same goal and closing deals faster.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.